Welcome to episode 30 of the Pariah Podcast.
Oh shit, 30?
Yeah, we're here. We're here. Oh, I realize shit. A lot of you maybe know our faces, but you don't know us. So let's give a quick introduction. I'm FC, an Arsenal fan. Next to me is Forrest, a Chelsea fan, and someone you don't see that often, but just as important, Tarek, who is a Manchester City fan. A rare breed, I will say. If this is on your For You page today, listen, you don't see 35-minute, 40-minute videos on your For You page, so if it's there, it's for you. Please take part. If you are in any other platform, welcome back as usual. We have a ton of stuff that went down this week in the world of football that we'd love to discuss here today. I think the best place to start is a place I haven't gotten to really speak about lately. It's Tottenham Hotspur. I know we spoke about them when Arsenal beat them last week, but this is the first chance we really get to speak about them independently, right? None of our clubs were involved. And there's like a big picture issue going on over there. In their last four games, it's been four losses. They've conceded 13 goals. Most recently, they played Liverpool and they lost 4-2 at Anfield. At one point, it was 4-0. They got two late consolation goals. It felt like for a moment a comeback was on, but yeah, it never really was. There's a lot of things surrounding these losses, right? Like a big part of the 13 goals has been set piece goals that they're conceding. A lot of drama in the media with their manager saying that's not a priority for us. There's also personnel issues, right? You see people like Emerson Royale today starting at left back when a very hyped up player in Dragusin has been left on the bench to rot effectively since he's been signed. There's other troubles like £50 million signing Brennan Johnson, who's been honestly a complete failure up to this point. No one really talks about it. Son's not firing. It's just a mess. And yeah, something I love to say, listen, if there's a million Spurs haters, I'm one of them. If there's 15 Spurs haters, I'm one of them. If there's none, that means I've left this planet. I've left this world. But man, it's just like, look, the reason it matters, this is Spurs, right? But after 10 games, they had 1-8, lost 2. No, drew 2. They were undefeated, right? And they were in title talks. And now they're here. And I just want to ask you two, like, did you foresee this? Did you expect this? Or was it different under Ange?
Did I expect them to keep up that form?
No. Did you expect this capitulation to happen?
Oh, no, I did not. Honestly, I did not. I'd be like lying right now if I said, yeah, I could see them being Spurs. But actually, no. Them being Spurs is different because you'd expect them to just kind of stay around like that fourth, fifth, you know, lose a couple games here and there. But this amount of just like everyone's like head loss, they have no idea what they're doing, losing huge games, huge score lines. Did not predict that. So it's been fun. I'm not going to lie to watch this. You know, I have a few Spurs fans in my life, so it's a little funny to just let them know what's going on. But yeah, this was unexpected for me. Tarek, what do you think?
You know what? I wouldn't say I expected it. I craved it. I wanted it.
I love to hear that. I hate these Spurs defenders,
like
Forrest
said, man. I know a couple of Spurs fans. I used to live with one, yeah, and I feel bad for him at the same time because as a City fan, I just got to see the complete opposite of everything they have to deal with. I do have a special place in my heart. It's full of hate, you know, towards them because for some reason, man, they're just our bogey team. So I just have to pray on their downfall.
Honestly, their biggest achievement in the last 8 or so years has been defeating Manchester City very, very consistently, we must add, right? But I think, honestly, that kind of sums them up as a team, right? And I think the reason Spurs has been under the microscope recently, right, is this turn of form hasn't been new. I think in the last 75 points available, they've managed to secure 36, right? So they haven't exactly just fallen off, right? But the reason we're talking about them now is the last 4 weeks, they've played Newcastle, Arsenal, Chelsea, and Liverpool. Very high-profile teams, right? And there's that graphic out there, which I love looking at, about Spurs potentially crowning the next champion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's one left to play. and it is Manchester City. And I think the reason I haven't completely given up hope on that graphic is Spurs. You know how some teams play to the occasion.
Yeah.
Spurs do the opposite of that.
Exactly.
When the occasion is small, when it is insignificant, they will pull out a result you're never expecting. If Spurs had, for example, beaten Chelsea, gotten a point at Anfield, they go on to then beat Burnley convincingly, I would be like, there's zero chance in hell that they defeat Manchester City, because that would put them right in contention with Villa for that top four position. There's things to play for, right? In that situation, I would have predicted a Manchester City win by like 5 or 6 goals.
Oh.
In the situation we sit in today, where...
Wait, clarify the situation. How many wins is it off of that?
They are 7 points off Villa, okay, right? So, and they have 3 games remaining. Okay. So they would have to win out and Villa would have to lose out. A very unlikely outcome, not impossible, but similar to Arsenal and City, right? Us winning the league is unlikely, but possible, right? Mm-hmm. What's it called? So they have to win out to see top four secured. And if in the next game they drop points to Burnley and Villa secure 3 points, it automatically becomes impossible. What they're effectively playing for the rest of the season is fifth position, which is Europa League. For that reason, I think that a result for Spurs at the Etihad is not likely, but possible.
Oh.
Because I'll show you another thing. I'll show you another thing.
I have dreams too sometimes.
while I try to pull this up, I want you to give your prediction for that game. But I may have something to...
Yeah, while you do that, I'll speak on it, man. I think it's been since 2018 since we've beaten them in their ground. But let me tell you, dude.
Wait, that's true?
Yeah, I genuinely think so.
That's crazy.
2018. I could be so wrong with that, but I'm pretty sure. At least in their home ground, you know? Like even.
Mm-hmm. And you haven't beaten them at the new stadium for sure.
Yeah,
I know that is a
fact. Definitely. But what I can say
is
there's never been a more likely chance. We're going off, what, 31-30 at this point? Wins off the trot. Tottenham 4 in a row. That's the first time in their history, I'm pretty sure, right?
First time since 19-something.
Yeah,
so in our lifetimes,
in the small history that they have, you know, this is our biggest. Sorry.
I just want people to know that we can be unbiased sometimes, but today
not
is
today.
Not today.
Yeah, exactly that. You know, we,
and honestly, nothing we're saying today is too biased. I know, obviously, we've all said, we don't like them, but when you lose 4 games on the bounce, you deserve everything that we're saying.
It's not.
Today.
It's
you
know, not like, even that. It's the fact that, like, looking at it, they don't have Harry Kane. Son is just—he's anything besides shooting it towards the goal. He's kind of forgotten how to do, essentially. Richarlison, you can't depend on him in key moments. But I have questions for you, man. How long do you think Van de Ven's hamstrings stick onto his legs before they just turn to jelly?
I think this is a brilliant point. I think both their entire back line. You look at Udogi injured. You look at Poro struggled with injuries. You look at Van de Ven was out with a hamstring injury 2 times this season. The only one that seemed to be able to keep up with the pace has been Romero, but he has had some other like contact related injuries, not muscle injuries. This high line Ange is so incessant upon playing is the most unsustainable setup I've ever seen. And I've criticized Jurgen Klopp before. You know, when you play this, What did he call it? Heavy metal football. Right? You're going to have to deal with heavy metal injuries. And that one season where they had like half their squad out and they were complaining like, oh my God, we didn't make top four because of injuries. It's something you caused. Like these things.
Let me ask you something. Speaking off that. So in 3 years time from now, how many of their starting 11 are still in the team?
I think
let's go.
I think
let's go
back
from
five.
The whole back
I think
five.
Their back five. They got it. I think that's a solid group of individuals in Poro, Van de Ven, Romero, Udogi, and Vicar. I think the recruitment there is top class.
Agreed.
Is Ange using them how they should be getting used? I don't think so.
Okay.
I think if you play...
I think Ange needs a full midfield revamp.
Yeah.
So that,
like, to also answer on behalf of that question, like, he needs protection. I think honestly, he doesn't need to become super pragmatic, as everyone's been telling him, like, oh, you need to give up trying to play this type of football. He needs to, he can play a high line. He just needs to get some.
He just needs to change shape, honestly.
I don't think the opposite of a high line is pragmatic football. Just play a regular, aggressive line. You don't have to be at the halfway line. You look at Manchester City, you look at Arsenal, how often are our center backs really at half?
What I'll say on that is the reason that I think Pep is able to continue like that, because I mean, I watch just about every City game there is on TV, you know. Mm-hmm. We maintain that almost exact same high line, you know, but we change shape in front of the line, you know what I'm saying? So that exactly. When they're trying to play through that first and second lines of attack, that's different every game, you know what I'm saying?
But and the six will drop. What you never see from our Arsenal, Man City, Liverpool team is four defenders in a line at half. To me, that's suicide. Like, I don't get the thinking.
And they're not even asking Bentancur or Bissouma to drop.
Yeah.
They're not asking Sarr to cover. It's very much like we're going to just send a lot of bodies forward and then hope that these athletic defenders can deal
exactly
with
it. Exactly that, but past that point, like it's the fact that now I can load up a Tottenham game and I can tell you exactly where Bentancur will be in the field the whole game.
If we can do that, imagine what the opposing coaches can
exactly.
do.
Exactly. I wouldn't even consider it a capitulation. It'd just be like now teams don't understand where how to counter the
attack.
But
you guys don't think that if Ange, let's say, you know, they've been actually like trying to get a guy like Conor Gallagher, someone like that who can just eat up ground and then is kind of just like a dog in the middle.
But then
if he came in, would that not help him try to keep playing the style
to
play?
But not if he tasks Gallagher to do the same things Bentancur.
Yeah, I think it becomes a fact of principles at that point. Like
I don't think Bentancur or Sarr or Bissouma are bad players. I actually think they're great midfielders. Especially I really like Sarr and I really like Bissouma. But they're just not being used. You know, I honestly couldn't suggest you like exactly what to do, but I think that's what a coach is there to do. I think the midfield is probably the most intricate part of coaching because it's do or die. I also let's talk about James Maddison for a second, right?
Let's talk. I have some things to say.
he had a Jeremy Lin run at the beginning of the season, and people were trying to make it seem like this guy is the greatest 10 to ever grace the Premier League. I think someone best put it, I shared this last podcast, first 10 games he was unplayable, second 10 games he was unavailable, last 10 games he's been invisible. So it's like, it's what you get from a player that...
I didn't even think, honestly, I didn't think he was that bad when he came on today, but they did throw him on at 4-0 to just like hoop.
Shooting. He took four shots in the first.
What's
like,
the
10
difference
minutes
between
on the
him
bit.
And Bruno Fernandes, man? The same reasons that we give plaudits to James Maddison are the same.
I would
that
take
we...
Bruno over James Maddison today. If I'm being,
can we take neither? Where's Eze?
Yeah,
can I have Eze? Jeez. Yeah, but truly,
but
someone that I was like confused with because I think he was like an Ange signing was also Brennan Johnson.
Brennan Johnson
bagless.
is an AI-generated footballer that I don't think anyone has ever spoken about. I don't think I've seen a single clip from Sky Sports.
That's 50 million right
50
there.
50 million and he's buns. Like
he was
like,
good at the beginning of the year, man. It's truly the fact of the matter. Like I can, like we said, like we all agreed, we can load up any Tottenham game 2 months ahead of time and I can tell you he's going to be standing here the whole game. You know what I'm saying? So it's impossible.
And you know what I'll say about that purple patch they had in the beginning? After six games, they had played the entire current bottom six. Do you understand? Like, of course the numbers were good at the beginning. It had to be, right? But at that time,
on their front three, but that is kind of crazy. That current six, that seems like one of those fake stats you see.
Yeah,
on
dude,
but,
I think that was Arsenal.
But their current front three of like was it Son, Kulusevski, Brennan Johnson? These are just three like dribblers. Like they're just three wingers.
I think Kulu can hoop.
Again, they're good players, but he's asking them to do different roles. Like he's like the Son at striker thing was just not working today.
Oh yeah,
like Son is not a player that's going to run in behind. Kulusevski, no one was running in behind. Everyone's just doing dribbles and like The second when he switched Son out to the left wing and then put Brennan back at striker, which I guess he played at Brentford, like things started get going. Like they started getting attacks going. I know, again, it was 4-0. But like weird, weird collection.
You're in trouble forwards. When Richarlison is your best forward.
Yeah.
You're in serious but trouble I feel like when that's the
if
case.
If they get like a big target man nine, like a Lukaku type player, like they could start moving because Richarlison and
you think he wants something like that though? What is an Ange player? Is that,
I don't
is
know,
that
like man. Just,
I'll be honest. I was not watching Japanese football. I don't know what this guy's goal is. But to me, like, I don't see them as a cross and inshallah team. So, like, if you're playing that high of a line, that can't be your end goal, right? Like, definitely if you have that many bodies in their half, you got to work someone out better.
They play so James direct, Madison. Though, at the same time, too. Like, it's not like our and Arsenal, like City and Arsenal's high lines. Mm-hmm. We, like, retain the ball, get the ball back, and just, like, go back at it. But with tempo and pace, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're just like, all right, we got the ball. Let's launch it into Richarlison, who's like, I don't even know. He's fighting demons. I don't know what's going on with him. Son, too, dude. He can't handle the business out there. That's if they had, like... And Evan Ferguson, trust me, I feel like he would, just someone who's big.
Wait, where is Evan Ferguson?
I mean,
dude?
Evan Ferguson.
He can't go to United.
That guy, out there. That guy was getting £100 million on Twitter in the beginning of the season.
Dog, I think he had trouble with injury this
Don't
season.
Tell yourself.
I would take him today. Don't tell yourself. I've seen enough. I've seen enough. I would take him today. If price is low, get him today.
Yeah, man.
Because you can't forget how to hoop. You could
forget
how to
hoop, dude. Oh, there's
come on. When you're 20 years old, you cannot be forgetting how to hoop,
dude.
No, talent. That talent is gonna stay.
Yeah, I've seen Forrest love Callum Hudson-Odoi for years, dude. I don't care,
dude. No, he did not forget how to hoop. He did not forget how to hoop.
League two players score that goal, dude. I'm not convinced at all.
No, dude. Come on.
I can score that goal right now. I can go outside and
stop
score that
it,
goal,
bro.
Dude.
Come on.
I bet he didn't even mean that.
That's
I bet he was
crazy.
Post. I
he scored twice. So which goal are you talking about? He scored
both.
Two. That's crazy. I would take him. I would take him back today.
Over
really,
really.
Over Rashan Mudrik. Over.
I would take Hudson-Odoi over Misha Mudrik today. Today.
He'd be roommates with Reece James and Fofana in the hospital.
Listen, okay. We'll get to Chelsea in a moment, but I found the thing I was looking for. I'm going to share my screen real quick.
The graphic?
This
Misha Mudrik, bro.
The last couple times Tottenham got points off Manchester City. L points.
This is some cope, man. This is
next,
some cope.
Next time.
That's crazy. That's actually insane.
So,
but that's terrifying.
This bodes extremely well for us. I'm actually encouraged by the signs I'm seeing. And look, what a script they've prepared for us, right? Arsenal will go to Old Trafford, Manchester City's, you know, local rivals. They have a chance to deny us the league. You go to our local rivals. They have a chance to deny you the league and effectively give it to
that
us.
That is crazy.
Let me ask
you something. Scripted.
So what happens if we win? Like what becomes the next like copium?
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
As an Arsenal fan,
or do you accept it at that point?
I've accepted.
Okay. Okay.
To me, if we win the league this season, it's like we're playing with house money. You know, like to me, I've already come to grips with the fact that hey, we're gonna probably end the season trophyless. But there's a chance, and to me, like.
It's fair, I guess.
The fact that we could take it to the last game is progress from last season.
So what happens? Like, am I allowed to ask this yet? What happens if Arteta doesn't bring it home yet? People got to leave. Chop and change has to happen, dude. Or do we take care of them?
I think regardless of the outcome this season, I think there's going to be some movement, a lot of movement.
Do we have any ideas yet, or is that a different pod? Well,
if you put me as director of football, I would get rid of Alexander Zinchenko.
Okay.
I would get rid of Thomas Partey. To be honest, I think it's time to move on from that. I would
Jesus.
Get rid of. Let me think.
Gabby J.
I would get rid of Gabby Jesus. To be honest, only if we could bring a gunman. You know what I mean?
Like who?
I need.
I want answers for this, man. Because
Kai Havertz is at the club, bro.
You know what I'll say? I don't know who it'll be. If I had to pick, and I had, I don't know, $100 million to spend, I would probably go get Victor Osimhen. To be honest,
okay.
Like to me, that's just a player who's been in the limelight for a while now and has performed on some level of basis, right? And I think with the service we will be able to provide, a striker that sometimes is wasteful could still do very, very well in the system.
Yeah, dude, that's what I want to interject right here. Like, you guys are making Havertz look like a proper striker.
Right.
Like, so if you get an actual striker, I'd actually be concerned.
Like, I like that Victor Gyökeres guy. Oh, he's just because
this guy.
He might go to Madrid at this point, though, man. Everyone wants him.
He's nasty. And what I'm really looking for in a striker, I have full trust in his recruiting department. I don't think we've had too many misses in the last couple of years. But what I want to see is a player that could strike the ball and has the confidence to do so. I'm tired of this waiting for the perfect look. I'm tired of this, I'm going to hesitate. Oh, I'm tired of this. I'm going to strike the ball, but it's
going to... You need
gonna...
someone selfish. You need
someone selfish. I need someone who is not going to play the extra pass. I need someone who wants to score goals, and I don't think we have that in this team. I think what Havertz has been able to accomplish in the last couple game weeks is awesome, but I think even he knows he's not going to be our out-and-out nine. But he's like a great piece to have around, I think. I would be extremely disappointed if something changed internally. They see this form from Havertz and like, we don't need a nine. That to me would be a step backwards. But like to your point, we don't win this title this season. I would love to see a lot of change. And I told Forrest already, the expectation would then have to be next season. It's title or complete failure. I think this season there was still a lot of doubt, right? People were putting us in the top four race. Like, oh, they're not going to be able to sustain that. That was their one shot that they're going to get ever. So to see us in this conversation again, this late on, is enough of an encouraging sign to me to where I'm not getting impatient. But next season, if it doesn't happen, I'm going to be pretty.
So at that point, say Pep hangs around one more season and Pep, you know, takes it back, makes it eight out of seven. What happens to Arteta? Would you turn on him?
This is filmed today.
Okay, I'm going to come back to this.
I don't think much could happen ever for me to want Arteta out, and I don't think you as a rival fan would want Arteta out because you I don't think that there's anyone better.
we have to do something.
You know what I thought about?
We have to get rid of him.
What? Yeah, 100%. You guys,
this is
to.
The elimination of Pep Guardiola. Yeah.
No, I'm not even joking. Like, we have to make some calls.
You know what?
Here,
sorry to interrupt. I remember last podcast that I was in, we talked about like Arteta and Pep in general. And this will be like my last thing that I'll say on Arteta at least. And I guess the whole soccer conversation is what I think of Arteta. He's such a good coach, but he's like, he took all the kids that weren't like brilliant in school or whatever, just really good listeners. And he made them buy into everything. What I genuinely don't think, and this is my follow up with like the Osimhen thing or like a top number nine, is I don't think he'll necessarily like, maybe he's earned it at this point with what he's done, but he hasn't like shown that he could take like a Haaland or like a De Bruyne or someone who's like established as like a world beater.
A maverick.
Yeah. Then bring him in.
I see what you mean.
Then get them to buy into his thing. Cause that's like the difference between the Zidanes, the Ancelottis and all them versus the Poches when they went to PSG. I think that Poch and Arteta, I don't necessarily even see a difference between them. I think the things. Obviously he's taken this and gone above, but like Poch when he was at Tottenham, he didn't get that backing.
He did good.
Got a lot of money.
Look, until we get a major, I have to hear that, right? You know what I mean? But I totally agree with you. I think this whole thing of taking these broken players and fixing them up.
But I would say like,
or just not established. You know what I mean? Yeah. No world beaters have come here yet and, you know, exploded. Yeah. And I'd argue the one player with the most pedigree that we've had under Arteta in Aubameyang, it didn't really go well.
Yeah,
and I think that has been intentional. Arteta, this is his first coaching job.
Agreed.
He doesn't have pedigree to bring in a player to him the way he does our players. But I think his pedigree, regardless of winning like a Champions League, a Premier League, he hasn't done those things. But I think around Europe, people know what he's 100% capable of now.
I agree.
And yeah, I think now is the moment.
Like mutual respect, I think.
Yeah.
At least people know. Like, that's a project they want to go to.
Yeah.
It's time to strike while the iron's hot and bring in one and see how. Because we can't avoid that. You need a player that can get you a win you didn't deserve. I don't think we have one of those today.
I've seen a couple wins you didn't deserve this year. Just saying.
Okay, listen. We could talk all day.
5-0 at the Emirates. Yeah. I don't know.
Speaking of 5-0 at the Emirates, let's now turn our heads to Chelsea.
Yeah, we're on you now.
Oh, nice.
We're on you.
Look, I think this is probably one of your favorite episodes, or it's going to be, because it's one of the few times this season where we're passing it to Chelsea and you guys
representing a loss.
Yeah, you're on the ascendancy, man. That's two. I mean, look, you're now comfortably in the top eight with a chance, mathematical chance, at finishing fifth. And the way the clubs around you are trending, I would argue you are favored to get fifth. Let me know what you think. Let me know how the last couple of game weeks have been.
Fifth feels like really a stretch. Like, I did the math, and we need like Newcastle to lose one, United to lose one. We need Spurs to obviously like lose to City as well and keep the goal difference good. It's like a lot of moving pieces and dominoes that have to fall, obviously. So I'm not like in my head saying, oh, fifth is on the cards, but like we can definitely keep moving up, like seventh, sixth. Like, those are easy things.
You're playing with house money too. Like, there's no pressure. You know what I mean?
Well, I wouldn't say that, because those are European spots.
Yeah.
And the club has made it very clear, like, even Conference League, which I think is just embarrassing to be in, but they want
that's a winnable trophy, though. You got to think of it like that. Like, you go into Conference League.
Trophy is generous.
No, maybe. But that's okay, fair enough. That's a run where you could get to the final and get, like, belief back in the fans.
I treat, like, even I feel this way about Europa as well. Like, we have such a, like, when these all our injuries come back, we have such like a large squad. We need to be able to rotate. So, like, being in some type of European competition would be really good for us. So I do want to get that. Yeah. And I think the club has made it very clear that Pochettino, you, like, literally need to get that. Go ahead.
Let's quickly have our say, because I think we're at a point in the season where there's not that many games left. We could speculate on these fixtures pretty comfortably, right? I think Villa are probably going to get fourth. I think the conversation that's left is for fifth. And the four teams in contention, you got Newcastle United. Their games left are against Brighton.
That's tough.
At home, United away, and Brentford away. Okay?
Brian made Villa look like
they
average
did. Today. De Zerbi woke up at the wrong...
You know Unai, though, dude. He just disappears after the big
Wait, can I show y'all something? I want to show y'all something real quick while we're on Unai.
Boris, though, don't get too excited. You know the question that I have waiting for you on Chelsea,
guys,
dude.
Somebody leaked.
Is it Poch in, Poch out type question?
It's a four-letter word, and it's not Aura. Okay. He's from Argentina.
This is a picture.
Sorry. Go ahead, Nifty.
This is a picture of Unai Emery's notes in their 3-1 win.
Where the hell did you find this?
Get out of here. Crunch time.
Somebody leaked this. I want you guys to read this. This is straight up Ted Lasso. We're going to win. He wrote Premier League, day 34, to win. Clean sheet, 66 points. Keep being consistent. Impose our gameplay.
I can't believe this, dude. This cannot be real.
Play personality. Be focused. To build. To learn. Smart. Intelligent. Gameplay. I just, like,
you know, the funny thing is, I bet John McGinn is reading this, like, you know what? I'm ready.
He's right. It's just when I saw this, bro, I was like, this cannot. He wrote Villa Park. He wrote what the game is.
Oh, my God.
I was like, look, we always give a ton of respect to managers. Like, their job is hard. Obviously, that's not all they do. But sometimes football is literally just that. I guarantee you, if Ange passes the Spurs players the same paper, they probably win one of their last four. But yeah, back to what I was saying. Chelsea's last four games is going to be Burnley, City.
I was going
to
say.
No, that's Spurs. Yeah. Sorry. Spurs is Burnley, City, and Sheffield United. And then... you guys, it's going to be Nottingham Forest away, Brighton away, and
that one's a little tough because of relegation for Forest.
Yeah, like, but I think that Sheffield result probably helped them a lot.
Dude, Forest are in a relegation fight, bro. You never
know. That's why it should be easy.
and then United, I think they have the hardest one. They go Crystal Palace, they go us, they go Newcastle, and then they go Brighton. So
that's tough. Yeah.
I honestly, I'm picking Chelsea to finish fifth out of that.
Because you think Spurs will drop out, like they'll lose to City.
Yeah. If Spurs don't get fifth, by the way, how about this? Yeah. Either Chelsea get fifth or Arsenal win the league. That's the two possibilities.
Oh, that's a good situation. You just twisted this. So
yeah.
Is that a question or a statement?
Yeah, no. I'm just telling you, that's what's gonna happen. Either Spurs are gonna get points at City or Chelsea will finish fifth. Like, so if you think City's gonna win the league, you also have to think you finish fifth.
Yeah, that's true.
Ooh, Paris, join the side, man. Like I said, we're gonna get relegated together, dude, in 2 years. It doesn't matter.
No, bro, we have no points deductions on the way as of now. Chill on me, dude.
Trust, man.
Chill, bro. Funny, although, did you see we're trying to like sell a hotel and put it under the PNS?
Come on,
this is haram, bro. This stuff is like.
Bro, Todd Boehly has like 800 lawyers locked in a room. Like, yo, get me out of this.
It's funny how he got all the blame. When isn't it the other guy who has more money or like more rights?
Yeah,
Boehly
has a lot more. He has a lot more control as well.
Yeah. Todd has a lot more aura though. They let
he's just fat, dude. I don't want to hear aura. Yeah.
That's funny.
No, they made Boehly the face of it, but the other guy has a lot of say.
Yeah, pretty insane.
That's fair. And I think he often goes into the dressing room after a loss.
I want to ask you first about Enzo though, man. I know, it's a tough conversation.
Yeah, I saw that as well. You know, our last four wins, he was not playing. And then when he did play, you know, Arsenal did their thing. I'm gonna say this, dude. He was playing with like some type of hernia. I'm just gonna lay on that injury.
100%.
I'm gonna let that like do a lot of the carrying work. But
I saw a medical like diagram of what the hell he had. That brother's intestines were like in his ball sack. Like,
yeah, something.
It was pretty bad. So I don't know how he was walking.
Thank you, doctor. That's funny. No, but Forrest, though, my question is this: if you guys were,
I know what your question is, bro. It's been loading,
dude. Gallagher. Like we said earlier, he just runs like an animal. Enzo, I think I could run a little faster and harder than he can, to be honest. I that's just what I see when I'm watching the TV. You know, this new system that you guys made, that's probably the reason as to why you guys are four off the trot now that you guys have won, or three. Regardless,
not counting Arsenal, we have not.
Yeah,
lost
outside of that Arsenal game, you guys have been playing pretty well, and dominant. Like if Jackson wasn't Jackson in some situations, you guys would be winning way more games. Okay, it's a slight shot, but regardless.
But yeah, I know what you're saying. Definitely not.
Right?
And that's why I am a little concerned about how he's gonna fit in all of these players that we have when they're healthy. Because again, we have Romeo Lavia waiting too. We have Nkunku waiting too. Like these are guys that should be playing. I don't think we're reaching any type of territory where Chelsea are going to try to move on from him. Mm. That would just be the biggest financial loss. There's no way we can make back that money. And there's no one being like, yo, we need Enzo Fernandez. Yeah. Like, I don't think he's at that. His potential is high, but he is not a current player where they're like, oh, Real Madrid is knocking. Yeah. Real Madrid is not knocking for shit, bro. So how we figure this out, it seems very, very likely that Gallagher is going to still be moved on. Like that's every post match, like there's a brief that comes out like, oh, Chelsea will still entertain offers. It is sad because so much of like the defensive look comes from him just pressing.
Yeah.
And can we talk about there was a random TIFO of Conor Gallagher for no reason?
They want to make him feel good before they push him out the back door.
Yeah, it's actually, there's going to be some type of like riot protest. They're trying to get rid of Chalobah too, like all the Cobham guys. Again, because these guys are just
pure profit,
bro. Yeah, pure exactly. Profit. Yeah. It's really sad. How he makes Enzo work in this, I don't know. If I really do want to see if Caicedo, Lavia, and Enzo can even exist. It seems kind of redundant. Like none of those guys are like kind of crashing the box like Gallagher has been recently. Also, like goal scoring, it could be really flat.
But if Enzo
comes in like fit in the preseason, like recovered fit, and he can move, and we push him a little higher, then I would
benefit of the doubt. If his starting position is higher, like he can operate, like we and I have already spoken, this Gundo, like almost like-for-like role, where he just, like Gallagher starts in the parking lot, and then he makes the run into the box. If you just start Gundo, or not Gundo, Enzo right at the top, I think he can make it. And that 4-3-3 box, I think it could work too.
I don't think Lavia, Caicedo, and Enzo are in the same bucket of like player. You know what I mean?
Profile, like, you mean?
Like, yeah, at all. No. Like I think Lavia is like the only true six there. I think Caicedo is better at it than Enzo, but
is he a six though, dude? When he was playing
Lavia,
when he was, I think he was playing in like a 4-2-2 at Southampton, right?
He was playing in a pivot.
Yeah. Like, I don't think he could sit by himself. But if you play Cucurella next to him in this little inverting thing and then push them two up top.
I can't believe, like, it took him, like, freaking 30 weeks to be like, oh, maybe we should do the inverting thing like everyone else is doing.
But you buy two City players and you guys are pushing Arsenal. You know what I mean? Like, they showed the formula. Just buy our scraps and then you're second place.
Honestly,
no, I don't want your scraps. I want your, like, your up-and-coming academy
like
players.
Oscar Bob.
Give me more of those. I'll take Oscar
Bob. My dead body.
Okay. Dude, I think Cucurella counts as a City reject because they wanted him. So.
And look, he's back in the team and he's pushing. That's all I'll say. Yeah. Lavia and it sucks though for Gallagher. Like, because obviously, like,
it does suck.
Like, his player, like, the way he plays definitely leaves it all out there. He's definitely, I don't know about Chalobah, but, you know, who knows about that guy.
But you mentioned a player, and I want to have this conversation. Forrest texted this in our group chat earlier, but I think it's a fun conversation to have here. Let's do, like, a keep, bench, sell, and sell for these four players, okay? It's going to be Kai Havertz, it's going to be Darwin Nunez, it's going to be Nicholas Jackson, and Højlund.
Okay.
I'm going to let Forrest go first.
Wait, so two have to be sold. We can't have
two have to be sold. One gets benched, one starts.
Okay. Damn, like, you're going to make me do this first?
I'll go first.
Based on, I'll say this. I want it based on this season alone, not prospective looking at this season.
Oh, okay, that changes. Yeah, that changed my answer. Okay, then I'm, this season alone, I am selling Højlund.
Okay.
And I am selling Darwin Nunez.
Okay.
Wow. And I am keeping Havertz and I'm keeping Jackson.
Wow. Dude.
On this season alone. Okay, that if you ask me perspective, then obviously I think Højlund has the most potential out of all
of them. Give me perspective then. Let's hear that.
I think Højlund has the most potential. I think Havertz is playing in the best system for this, but I don't think he has like another jump in him to be like this gun, like number nine, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, he is doing well.
So you're starting Højlund or what?
No, I'm benching Højlund. Oh, wait, no. Am I starting Jackson? I'm not starting Jackson either.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. You're bugging. You're bugging.
I don't want to answer this, dude.
I would start Darwin.
Tarek, go. Tarek, take over. Okay, take over. Take over.
Okay. So we have Darwin, Jackson, Højlund. Højlund.
And Havertz.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm starting Havertz. I'm selling. Actually, I'm getting rid of Jackson on a free. Okay. Buying out his contract.
I'll pay someone to take
Jackson. Dude, I can't. He's a winger, man. Get out of town.
Just kind of that's, biased. That's, I know. I'm a little biased. It's fine.
That's tough between the other two. Nunez.
What am I missing with Nunez that everyone's telling me, like, oh,
you're
Nunez
missing a player with all of the raw ingredients. Like, all of them.
No,
you can argue that with Jackson.
I disagree.
Too,
yeah.
Dude.
I think him and Jackson are in the same boat. But I think the chances that Jackson's missed, he's created
just
by himself.
Physically a little bigger, better.
Yeah.
No, you know what? I think the reason I see Nunez. Oh, and for the record, my answer is start Havertz, bench Højlund, sell Nunez, and Jackson. And that's thinking more perspective because I know we changed it a little bit. If it was just this season, I would start Havertz and bench Nunez. I think Nunez and Jackson are similar players. The reason I think Nunez is slightly better is because they both have these like bozo moments. But I think the difference between Nunez's bozo moments and Jackson's bozo moments, when Nunez messes up a chance, I at least see him attempt a shot with like a deep, like it's off target sometimes. It's a bit like, I don't know, like rash sometimes, but at least like the ball gets shot with power, conviction. He's confident, right? Jackson. No, it's a lot of indecision. It's a lot of turning around. It's a lot of passing the ball. It's a lot of doing things I would never expect.
He doesn't have a clean strike.
Yeah, but past that,
like ball striking. Yeah, go ahead.
Past that, I feel like the chances that Jackson gets or misses rather, those are chances he makes on his own. You know what I'm saying? Like he'll do
that's
something,
true.
And then it'll be a chance where he should probably finish it, and then Bob's your uncle.
But, dude, he does all this work. Like, and I agree with your point on the winger. He does a lot of stuff where he takes the ball in midfield and he'll dribble all the way past these players.
Yeah, I see that.
He can't do the final action. Højlund, on the other hand, is a great finisher. You know, great striker, but he's not like movement.
Yeah, he's elbow you in the face.
In the box, he'll do like a little like poacher, but he's not like. He can't create these chances that Nunez and Jackson do.
Yeah.
But he could finish
them. I agree.
So you kind of
need
like.
And that's what you need from a nine, bro.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It depends on what you want though, in a nine, though, right? Like, all right,
no,
Jackson.
I think it depends on what your front is in itself.
Exactly.
Like, if we're playing Nkunku and Palmer, like long term, then I think Jackson is a good player to have. because those two are the real finishers on the team. Yeah. Palmer and Nkunku, they're not like wingers like that. They are poachers.
Yeah, but
so like Jackson could do a lot of the hard work and then just work on not being a little selfish or clumsy.
But I feel like if you got a person who could create, who could score off those chances, like Palmer creates way more than Jackson does. Like I definitely see what you're saying in that respect. But like if you all put like the Sporting kid, Victor Gyökeres or whatever his name is, in front of him, or even Højlund, like if you switched with Man United right now, who do you think would be in a better position between Jackson and Højlund?
Højlund would, I think.
Really? I think that's a perfect solution, or like that mold of player.
I don't think Jackson would work at this United team.
I think he could create chances that the same reason that you said Højlund can't do. Like he could get those chances. Versus,
and United are more of a transition.
Yeah, and he can create for Rashford. Yeah. Like Palmer and Nkunku will create for your forward. So like having a Højlund.
I'm very excited to see next season. Because to Farsh's point, I think that's when these players are expected to take this next step, and we will know who is Fugazi and who is the real deal. I do want to close with a quick prediction and kind of review of the Champions League semifinals. Obviously, it happened in this past midweek.
Three of us aren't in the Champions League. I'm not even watching anymore, that. Man. Damn, bro.
Yeah, so we
knocked out, man. Damn.
We got to speak very, we don't have a horse in the race. So it's Bayern Madrid on one side and Dortmund PSG on the other. Bayern and Madrid are going to the Bernabeu with a 2-2 score on aggregate, and Dortmund will be going to Paris up 1-0. Dude, I would love to see Dortmund.
If I can just open on this, and I'm glad you said that. If I see Dortmund in the Champions League final, I'm not showing up. I don't care about this, yo. Dude, streets won't forget, exactly. You know, Marco Royce. I don't give up, like, whatever, dude. That game was suck, man. If Real Madrid has to play Dortmund, that's gonna be like 8-0.
That means you think Madrid are going through?
I do. I think there's gonna be some black magic at the Bernabeu. Like, I do want Tuchel to go through with Bayern. I want to make that clear. But Real Madrid are not losing at home in a Champions League semifinal. That is their match.
It's like a win-win for me because I either get to see Harry Kane like remain trophyless. or Vinicius just cry on the field again. You know, that's what I live for. Actually, Rodrigo, that's who I live for. Okay. The others. What were you going to say?
I would love to see Kane go.
Yeah, exactly,
I think I need that. I think the streets.
Exactly.
I'm picking Madrid, personally.
100%. Exactly. On that matter, I can accept Vinicius just being better than us this year.
Madrid PSG is probably the best story. As well. You get like Mbappe pre this potential move. You get like two heavyweights
I would love.
What happens if they lose though? That PSG have to be liquidated. Mbappe's transfer has to be canceled. That's what I want. Probably. Like
my desired outcome is Madrid and PSG go through. Mbappe loses the final and does the KD move. Like I think. His legacy is forever tarnished if he loses that fight. It'd be better for him to not even get to the final.
Yeah.
It's a bad look to lose.
Do you remember in 2013 when Mario Götze was signed from Dortmund to Bayern and then they met each other in the final and he was injured in the stands?
God.
Yeah, if I'm Mbappe, bro, my hamstring is gone.
Yeah. Wasn't Hummels in there?
I can't play.
Wasn't Hummels in there too?
Maybe. Yeah. Dude. I mean, that whole team got
punched. I think he left, went back, and then came back again or something like that. That whole league is cooked, man. Thank God Xabi Alonso came.
But you know, to everyone else's credit, we might be the farmers. The fifth spot for UCL has been allocated to Italy and Germany. We will be missing out. I agree. It's your fault. It's Man City's fault that this has happened. I think that's everything for this week. Thank you guys for watching. We're wrapping at 45 minutes, which will fit on TikTok.
That's crazy. You can post full videos
it's
now.
It's nuts.
That's
insane. This is dangerous.
There's going to be movies on there now. We don't need any more bootleg websites. Watch Interstellar on TikTok.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
Well, thank you guys for watching. We will see you next week. Enjoy. Bye bye. Wait, hold up.